friends, welcome to the Stationery Cafe, your podcast where everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm April from Penguins Creative.
And I'm Phyllis from Miss Sling Bloom. And today we're going to be catching up on our journal updates and share some thoughts about organizing your stationery workspace. Hey, April, guess what?
Oh, what's up?
We are finally redecorating the inside of our house.
After moving in for 2 years, congratulations!
Actually, so what we decided was, because we're renting right now, and we decided we'll just keep renting for longer, but we hired an interior designer to help us like lay out the space a little better because it's very crowded. And she looked inside and she said, oh, it looks like you just moved in.
That's awesome, though. I still remember, like, I think you guys moved in, like, late 2018 or maybe, mid-2019, maybe?
It was mid-2019.
And then we go there, and then you still managed to host, like, our cafe journaling parties, and then, like, that Christmas, we have a bunch of fun. Like, we squeezed so many people into your house, and just, like...
I mean, the thing is, I love having people over. We love having guests over. And so the problem has been like, our house is too cluttered. We have a lot of stuff. My stationery stuff is like taking over the living room. And so it's, you know, we're just trying to see how we can make it all work. And I think this new layout is going to be really great for stationery. And then hopefully in the future, more journaling meetups again.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to hear. Maybe you'll share later in a bit, like how your interior designer recommends your storage space for stationery. Because that's definitely something like if I had the opportunity to reorganize my house, I want a person to advise me on that space. Because I feel like we always just do addition, right? Like we're like, okay, add this on. And you watch those shows and they're like, it's all about subtraction and like it's all about, I don't know, hiding things. So I'd be so interested to hear her take.
Yes. Well, this episode we will dive into all the trends and what we're noticing in the stationery world in terms of your storage and your workspace.
Yes, but first let's do some planner updates, right?
Yeah, like
catching up with April and Phyllis.
Okay, well, April, what's new in your stationery world?
So first, I kind of have this newfound love for glass dip pens, and I don't really know what was the catalyst. Maybe it was the Hobonichi Spring release, you know, coming out with the glass pen, or watching Miranda stream on Twitch where she was swatching all her inks with her glass pen. And I did buy this glass pen together with Kelly, with Nita, like probably like 4 months ago. It's one with like, you know, the glass nib, but it actually has a cap. So it looks like a fountain pen. And I just decided, you know what, let's play with it a little bit. And now I'm just in love. I actually have it on my desk now. And I have like those tubes, those samples tubes that people always like swap around, but you never really use because it's too much of a hassle to switch out the ink. And now I just constantly have them and I'm actually going for them more than my gel pens in my Hobonichi. It's so much fun.
You know, I've been seeing this Instagram trend of everybody using dip pen or glass dip pens. And is it because of Hobonichi? I didn't realize that was the catalyst.
I think it's that's my catalyst. Like, because seeing it, I wanted to, let's give it a try. But I think it's already becoming a big thing in Japan for the past year or two. And I guess I started following a lot more glass pen makers in Japan because Bungo Joshihaku in Japan was like promoting a lot of them. And so I started seeing more show up on my feed. And then there's all those like famous people using it, like the Japanese creators and stuff. So I think it's definitely something that is gaining momentum in the stationery world. And so, you know how like you look at a spread from top, it's always like fountain pens and stuff. I'm pretty sure soon we'll start seeing glass pens showing up at everyone's desk.
I love the idea of a glass pen that comes with a cap because I had a glass dip pen, but it had a pretty fine tip. And then one day I broke it on accident. Like I bumped into it or something and the tip broke off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a super high quality pen anyway, but the idea of having a cap is awesome.
I know, right? I feel like that definitely is like a more safe and comfortable way for people to enter the like the glass dip pen world. Although part of the appeal though is that long, you know, elegant twisted handle.
Yes.
So we don't know, but anyway, let's see what else. So the another cool thing that lots of people are doing lately is printing out photos and posting them on the monthly calendar section. And yeah. I finally decided to give it a try.
It's just like what Andy's been doing in his monthly. I think we talked about this before.
He was the one who kind of like I saw do first. I mean, I don't know if he's the first person to do it. Pretty sure there's a lot of people that does that, but we talked about it on his episode. And then lately there's a lot more people doing it too. And I realized my mentality is I always thought, what a hassle. Like you have to like print small photos every day to put it on. And I realized, no, the way to do it is to do it retrospectively. So at the end of the month, you print out a batch and you add it all up. And it's so easy.
Okay, man. But then how do you remember which photo is which date?
That's so Courtney from Little Raven Inc. did a tutorial on it on her Patreon, I believe. And she shared the secret is that every day on your phone, you just create an album. Then you just drag, like, you know, so January 2021, and then you every day you just remember to drag one photo, or at the end of the month, organize it that way. And then when you need to start printing them, you just like add into the thing. And so tips on sizing, because that's probably the biggest issue most people have. And then from Joy, oh hi Joy, I learned another trick. She uses this app called Print to Size. It's I think you pay like $1.99 for the app itself, but then it looks like it's very useful because it actually mocks up those page size you're printing on. Wow. And then you can resize and decide on how big each of those photos are or crop them to be that way. Because the way many of us are probably doing it is like really the dumb way of like, all right, Photoshop. Now we have to send all our photos onto our computer, organize it that way, then print. When all this time, there's this app where you can just click and send. And that's like so much easier. So
I've been using PhotoGrid for a lot of that, and you can resize, but it's limited, I think, to like 9 photos per
yeah.
page.
That's what I've been doing too. And so I like was like, okay, if a box in Hobonichi is like around 2x3 centimeter, then I can print like a 4x6 with like 8 photos in it. Like I was doing math. It was so annoying.
I thought you're really like, I didn't like math in school.
And then like when I was arranging it on Word doc, I was eyeballing it. I was like, okay, this looks like it's about the same size. I was like taking a piece of printer paper and matching it to my own sheet. It's really the raw way of doing it. So I'm glad there's like cool apps that people have experimented with, and I'm happy to share them here. So yeah, thanks to Joy and Courtney from Little Raven Inc. for giving us these little wisdom. And I definitely recommend people doing that because that's kind of like what you said before for me printing out cookie photos. My monthly is now just cookie, like all my dog's photo as he grew like within the month. So it's really fun.
Cool.
Let's see. I continue to use my Flurrier Lab, and now together with a new app that I've been liking called Inside Timer, because I mentioned before my Flurrier Lab is my mindfulness journal, right? Like I want to like meditate and then like do things. So I am using this app called Inside Timer, which is recommended by a lot of people who do meditation and mindfulness. And so it gives me something to write about, you know, like I will write, okay, today I listened to this instructor's class. So that would be like the heading on my one day, one page. How long did I do it? And then, so I have a blank space where it's like, when you meditate, sometimes you have thoughts, right? And they always tell you to just like banish it. But for me, sometimes they are like to-dos that I'm like afraid I'll forget later. So I have that book in front of me with a pen. And so I will be meditating. And then if something comes up and like, no, I can't banish it, I will forget it. I like open my eye and quickly write down that task in front of me in that page and then go back to it. And then at the end, when I come out of my meditation, I write down like probably a few sentences, what was distracting me the most during this mindfulness practice. So I really love that. Like that.
You're like, you're finding a way to use that time as a way to process and reflect, and then also incorporating your Fleurir Lab into it as well.
I know, because like that's one of the things where people might think, oh, how do I like write and do meditation at the same time? So I think this is a good balance on how to start getting into it, because for sure you're gonna have a hard time doing mindfulness when you are not familiar with the practice. And so, you know, I'm also in this phase where I'm just starting out to try to build this habit. So I'm just gonna have as much stuff to assist me as possible. And even though coming out of that meditation to write down thing is considered like not right, like you're supposed to keep going, right, it's okay, like, because it's my way of going in there. I want to, at least I'm trying, right? So
exactly. And it's still helpful for you, it sounds like.
It does. Yeah. I'm really loving it. And shopping haul update on my end. I'm pretty sure we both have something this week, yes. Or this month, but I placed an order on Yosika Stationery because the Dear Forest Stationery tape is restocked on her store. Oh, you know that what I'm talking about, right? Dear Forest is the stationery store in Taiwan, and she comes out with this series of stationery themed stationery. Like there's stamps and there's this washi tape, and the stamps are like typewriter, a display case with ink bottles in it, a glass, yeah, the shop
board, shop sandwich board.
Yes, exactly. And so the tape though has way more design, because the stamp was a set of 9, and the tape itself contains all 9 designs from the stamps, and plus probably like 4 to 5 more designs in it, like an open traveler's notebook, a stamping page, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's funny because when I bought the stamps directly from Dear Forest Stationery, they were out of the tape. So yeah. I'm just so surprised that Yosika managed to get some more. And so now I'm like, when I saw it, you know how Daisy, they will do updates, like they will do an Instagram story or a newsletter, yeah, saying what we have. So I like went and bought it before they even did that, because I knew it's gonna be sold out once they do the push, you know, the promotional push. So I got that. And then of course to hit free shipping, because no one else in the group will help me. All right, let's add this Platinum Classic Ink Forest Black into my order. And it's so pretty. It's ink with iron gall in it. So it's not a pigment ink, but it oxidizes, so it becomes darker. So it writes initially kind of like a green, like, you know, a vibrant green, but then it mutes down into like a darker forest green color. So it's very interesting. That line of ink has like a lavender one, there's like red, there's yellow, they call it the citrus black, Cassis black, lavender black. So it's part of that cool series, and I've always wanted to give it a try since I saw it on Stickerific's website.
And they're all waterproof, right?
Kind of, a little bit. Like they do well enough, but like I still wouldn't like paint over them lavishly. But it is sort of more sturdier than your typical fountain pen ink. And I wanted to get it off Stickerific because they've been like promoting it on their site like since last year Christmas. It looks pretty, you know, all those bottles together. But instead, I got something else from Stickerific.
What was that?
They came out with their own watercolor sketchbook, Phyllis.
Oh my God.
It's called Art with Stickerific Sketchbook, and they uses 100% cotton Baohong watercolor paper,
ooh,
which is like, they said it's like the the cheaper version of like Archie's. Like in Asia, a lot of people use it. It's actually pronounced Bao Hong, which is a Chinese brand, but you know, Bao Hong, you can read it that way. And in Asia, especially in Taiwan, you know, affording Arches paper or like Fabriano paper, all these like very good ones that we know here in the US, it's obviously with import prices and stuff, it's definitely a more expensive option. So a lot of students or watercolors in Taiwan uses Bao Hong. And so Stickerific being in Malaysia, they definitely had access to that kind of paper. So they were actually able to get that paper and bind that into like, you know, a hardcover sort of sketchbook that's like, I think around A5 size. And so I ordered two.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then finally, I had like a giant haul from Maruko Art, this Taiwanese illustrator, because she was doing this thing where if you, you know, I feel like people love doing this. If you buy up to this certain amount, you get this freebie. So she was supposed to go to this book expo in Taiwan. Like that's the annual thing where lots of creators go and, you know, set up booth and you can sell your stuff. And she made this hanging fabric calendar with all her illustration, like all the months of the year together that was supposed to be there. But obviously with COVID, they kind of had a few extra cases in Taiwan recently. So they decided to not host the convention anymore. So she moved that online and I was like, yes, easily made the made the tier.
Add to cart.
I know. So I can't wait for it to get here. And then the calendar, it's going to be so pretty. Like
Maruko was so cute. Those little whimsical animals.
With the forest animals.
Cafe design. Like they're doing stuff. It's so cute.
I know. And she said like, cause it's like a hanging calendar. It's between two wood beams and with like a string. Oh. She said you can repurpose the wood beams to hang your own posters in the future if you want to. So I'm like, perfect. I'm technically buying home decoration goods. So it's So that's me. That's everything I've been doing recently with my stationery thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, I similarly did also make a purchase from Yoseika.
Hey, Daisy and Neil. Hey, from Seattle.
So I ended up getting two fountain pen inks from Lennon Toolbar. I really just like waterproof inks because, you know, I like using my inks in sketching sometimes also. Mm-hmm. And I get worried that, you know, in Seattle things, it's always like wet or raining.
Yeah.
I get
worried
that rain is going to get on my stuff. So I got two of their atmospheric inks, which are supposed to be waterproof, and they're called atmospheric, you know, because they're based off of weather patterns in Taiwan. And so I got blue sky and then cloudy day.
Oh, wow. So pretty.
Yes, the blue sky is this beautiful, vibrant blue, but a little bit more muted than the Yongchun one, the mask blue. So it's not quite that blue green.
Yeah, that one's really teal, like really turquoisey. Yeah.
This one is more of a pure blue, but it's like, not quite pastel, but not right, really bright blue either. Like a really peaceful blue sky day.
Nice.
And then the cloudy day is a deeper gray color. And I haven't swatched that one yet, but from their swatches online, it looks like it has a little bit of, I think it has a little bit of sheen to it, or like a little bit of a different color. I'm not sure what it's called. Maybe like the colors separate a little bit and so you see a little bit of redness to it, but it looks really, really cool when it dries.
You're going to use them for your sketches, right? Like I saw you've been sketching so much more lately.
Yes, I've been really into my art stuff lately, which brings me to the next couple of things. So I also got my watercolor dots. It's from Peppercon Arts. Connie, who has been on this show before, she makes handmade watercolors and they are just gorgeous. And I highly recommend the Dots if you live somewhere where the shipping cost is really high, because I think the thing that was intimidating for me is like shipping from Melbourne, Australia is a bit higher than I wanted to pay. But the watercolor Dots, because they're flat, it's only $3. And this tons of colors, like I want to say maybe 15 or so colors on each dot card, and they are just so vibrant and so beautiful. And so I'm really excited to play around with those more.
I saw you swatch, like, I guess they're called swatching when you like kind of disperse the color around the dot so you can see the color. The garden one, oh my goodness.
Yes.
So pretty.
Secret Garden in organic is just like so vibrant. Like I can see like summer flower or like spring flowers. Mm-hmm. It really is like a secret garden. And then the Wildwood collection that I got is all these like beautiful muted like landscape tones. It's just, it's like gorgeous colors.
And a little bit of those dot goes a long way. Yes. I have a tiny dot card from her from, I think, late last year. I'm still using them to this point. Like, you know, sometimes you're just using a little bit. And obviously, I don't do, like, big paintings, but enough for a journaling space, I feel like, when you're, like, doodling in your Hobonichi or, like, adding illustrations to your Traverse notebook. The dot card is so convenient, even.
I noticed that I wanted to use my smaller round brush, my size 4 round brush, and I would just hold my dot card in one hand and use my smaller round brush in the other hand, and it was perfect. It was perfectly sized.
Did you listen to the episode where Jan from also Connie's friend together, and she recommended size 4 brush, and I've been wanting to get one.
That was so funny when I heard that too, because I had actually intended on, I have a size 8 and I wanted to get a size 6, but then I was at Artisan Craftsman, they only had a size 4, so I decided, oh, fine, because I wanted an a Scola travel brush, mm-hmm. and so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just use the 4, and actually, I love it. I think having a size 8 and a size 4 is a perfect balance for
That's
me.
That's true.
The mm-hmm. 8 is big enough that I can do more, like, background, but not so big that, you know, I can't do any detail. And then the 4 helps me add a little extra detail.
I know. I don't have an 8. I just have a 6. But now I feel like if they're like too close in size.
Yeah.
But yeah. Now I want another. I want like a traveling 4. Like the traveling size sort in the size 4.
Yes. I highly recommend the, I think it's called Escoda.
Escoda. Oh yeah. Those are really good. And they come like, they're basically like a little silver bullet and you can pull it out and cap it on its end. And then it became like a handle. Yes. I love those. Oh man.
It's pretty much, I think, the same size as my Kaweco Lilliput.
Yes.
Pen. And so there's like this little travel duo. I love it.
Probably like, you know, my actual brush is like twice the length and it's just not really travel friendly. So I want to go buy one. Where you're like life enabling me. This is really bad. All right. What else did you get from Yoseika?
I also finally jumped on the Sachihata stamp ink train.
What took you so long?
So here's my thing. I like small things. I like portable things. That's part of the reason why I like the travel brushes. And so I've been obsessed with the Soramame stamp pads because they're so tiny and I can take them with me. And so I've been holding off on the Sachihata because they're more of like a standard size ink pad.
They're
a little smaller, but like standard size still. And then for our dear listeners, I think this is not a purist's way of trying a Sachihata stamp pad. And April has her thoughts on it.
But let me say first, when you first shared it with us, and I was like, that's actually kind of genius. Like, of course, Phyllis would be the one who thought of this way. Like, Phyllis, the one who always go unconventional, like, thrifty, and just, like, trying to jump outside the box. Like, I never thought of even doing that. So, what did you do?
Okay, so I have some Versa, like Versa Magic or Versa regular stamp pads. They're maybe about an inch in size, an inch by an inch, so they're small. And then I also have some Sora Mame that have pretty much dried up. Like, I've used them for a couple of years, and they're just, they're, when I stamp, they're very, like, weak colored and pale. So then I thought, well, Yoseika actually sells the Sachihata refill ink, like the kind that's supposed to go with the stamp pad, but it's a refill. It comes in a little bottle, and you just squeeze it onto a Sachihata ink pad and smear it on. So then I decided to just buy a few colors and then try it on my Versa Magic and my Sora Mame. So I bought colors that matched ones that I already had. So I had like a light purple, so I got the wisteria. And I had a light blue, so I got the water.
Nice.
And then I had a sand beige, so I got the sand color. And then I just squeezed them onto my kind of dried up sad ink pads. And it's perfect. Like, it works super great. I feel like I still get the highly saturated, beautiful color.
Yes.
But now I can keep it in the tiny ink pad that I was already using.
That is like so cool. Because I moved on to Sachihata because my Versa Magic teardrops dried off.
Yes. Yeah, they dry off. They
and
just
I just
off.
Tossed them. I never thought about, hey, what if I just like re-ink them with the ink I want? And I was like, and you probably get more volume. Yes. In the refill bottles than the actual ink pad as well, right?
So, and the refill bottles are $4 less than the each ink pad, which is why, yeah, the refill bottles I think were like $5.50 or $5, and the ink pads are $9. So I think for people who are trying to be thrifty, this is a good option. Now, of course, if you are truly very like ink color purist, if you have some residual ink in your ink pad, it will probably mix a little bit. It won't be exactly the pure ink, but for me, the Sachihata is so bold that it really overtakes any residual Versa Magic ink color. So
I know, you showed us the photo and like it's like half, you know, like it, the lilac, oh no, the wisteria color was like taking over the entire surface of the sponge. And I was like, wow, you just like made your own new ink.
It's amazing. And it just gets absorbed so easily. And it goes, and you can actually see the color start to soak into the ink pad.
Oh, wow.
So I love that.
Well, that was. So my input was that the only thing you're missing out on by not getting the Sachihata ink pad is, as Kelly and I discussed before, they are the design of Sachihata ink pad, and why they are such a staple in Japan is because of the makeup of their sponge. So compared to other ink pad sponges, they, you know how other ones are usually like a flat sponge and you like pat them onto stamps instead of the other way, but with the Sachihata you take the stamp itself and you press it on the sponge, and because the way the sponge is tightly wrapped and has like that curvature, you don't get the ink on the edges, which is usually what happens when you use it with other.
Exactly.
I think commonly in American ink pads, they are sponge, like flat sponges. So, you know, the whole thing sinks in. But with the Sachihata ink pad, only the impression part sinks into the sponge. So that's a neater way to use ink. But, you know, your total pro here is the travel convenience of carrying smaller portable ink pads. And I totally want to mimic that. And you know, some colors that were out of stock in the ink pad style, I might get them in the refills.
Yeah.
And try to revitalize some of them.
Exactly. If you have double, you know, if you have some of the, if you have a favorite color of the Sachihata pad, then you could get the refill and then put it on a Versa Magic so you can still take it with you.
Oh my God, Phyllis. You know how in Taiwan there was that trend with the mixed color?
Yes.
What if you put two colors in it and make your own combo?
April, I'm going to have to do that right after we talk today.
Oh my God, the blue and the wisteria together is going to be so
beautiful.
Pretty. Oh my gosh.
It'll be like my own tie-dye version.
Exactly, your own tie-dye. Oh my gosh. And of course, you can only do that if you buy the refills. You can't do that when you're like other
ones. Right, exactly, exactly.
Okay, you have to let us know how that goes, because that's,
yes, I will.
That's going to be amazing. Because those tie-dye ones cost like 800 NTD, right? Like per piece.
Oh yeah, so that's like almost $30.
I know, right? per pad.
Yeah. Nice. But that's not the end of all my hauls, April.
There's, oh my gosh, yes.
Well, so I had gotten a gift card to a Blank Note as part of a Christmas present. And so I finally spent it on some of the new Hours items that came out. So I got the beautiful olive leaf watercolor sticker pack.
Yes.
So three different kinds. It's PET, washi tape, and transfer sheets. So that's really cool. Mm. Yes. Three different kinds. And then I also got an Hours, I don't know which one it is, but it's a set of three stamps. They look very collage style stamps. And actually Nita had posted a photo of her using it in one of her collages recently. And I was like, I need those stamps. It's so beautiful. They're very, they like, I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, I know. Those are by Hanks, I think, who drew that. And it's very similar to that pattern in his washi tape, PET tape. That's called like the dissonance or consonance. So it's like musical notes, little script type writing with like extra lines, very Shamil Garden-y, but like more modern, I would say. And so those are great for layering, because you can like put down an image, or before the image, put down that thing and then add like things to it.
And I have some metallic stamp pads, and I'm thinking about using those as accents. Like maybe have one background layer. I have some Shamil Garden background texture stamps. Use that as a background, and then maybe layer some paper and some stickers on top, and then use the metallic ink with some of that Hank's writing as an accent stamp.
Oh my gosh. Like, and well, you know, our friend Sarah's playing with gold leaves lately.
Yes.
That would be really nice foiled, you know, like actually have that glitter or like that gold reflection.
Exactly, the pop. Exactly.
Nice.
Those are all my new items. And then in terms of my planner setups, nothing much has changed. I think my ring planner, I'm still using it as my work planner. I was inspired by the plotter project layout, and I just made like I taped three papers together to create a project timeline fold out.
Oh, nice.
By plotter. And yeah, otherwise all my setup is the same, believe it or not.
That is so rare. Like for a month, Phyllis is content. That's cool. Well, I can't wait to see what happens next month. Like I feel like there's a catch there. Phyllis always does something to her foot though.
We'll talk in a week and see how things are different.
All right. Well, let's get into our core subject today. And, you know, we want to talk about workspace, we want to talk about organization, we want to talk about where we're storing our tools, right? And I think let's like kind of go over it on the broad sense, like what's ideal when it comes to the stationary person's table.
I think there's three main principles, at least, you know, when I'm thinking about my workspace, it's three main things. Number one is I need to like what I see. You know, I want my space to be something that I want to be at. And so whether that's, I want to look at all of my little trinkets or my plants, or I want it to be very clean and minimalist and I don't want to see a bunch of stuff. I think every person has their own style, but the number one most important thing is it needs to be a place that you want to be at.
That's true. Like after a long day, like, do you want your desk to be another cluttered space that your children had already taken over the rest of the house? Or like you're at a very sterile, like a kind of workspace, and you want to come to somewhere that's like warm and happy, has like the flowers, the potted plants.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm.
It depends on what you need. Exactly.
That's cool.
The second big principle is making sure that you have clever storage solutions. And we'll be talking about that later. But I think with my interior designer, one of the things that I'm learning is I was thinking too narrowly about what storage could look like, you know, that it's just boxes or tins or something. But there's actually, there are so many other ways of storing items and having them close to you so that you can use them easily. That's very important.
Do tell, what are they?
Well, so she, one of the things the interior designer is doing for us is picking out our furniture. And so she picked a desk for me. She was like, look, you work at this space and you're doing crafts, you need more easily accessible areas. So
because yours is right now is just a round table, right? It's just a round kind of like coffee table with a single pole.
Exactly.
No drawer, no nothing.
Exactly. And so she says, first of all, utilize the vertical space. So she's adding shelves above where my desk area is going to be. And nice. Then the desk she picked for me is actually a corner L-shaped desk so that I have more space for working and placement, and it has built-in shelving and space underneath too. Ooh. With drawers. And so the built-in feature I think makes it so that you don't have to buy extra storage to then add more clutter into your space. But utilizing the above and the below is mm-hmm. key.
And that works for you because that also allows you to keep your capsule, right? Your monthly capsule, because you don't have to have everything spread out, but you also don't need that many drawers that, like, you know, make your table a giant like cabinet, because you don't have to have everything at your desk all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I've also noticed online a lot of people using that principle of vertical space, and they'll get they look like old card catalog boxes, like lots of grid, and they'll put their washi and their stamp there.
Yeah.
Like that kind of vertical shelving. And so I think for people who do want to see their items and it's part of their decoration, one of those vertical box shelves does help.
Apothecary desk that people find in like vintage finds, and they're like tiny little drawers, but they probably take out the drawers and then it's just the cubicles.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And then I think one last principle, at least for you, April, one of the reasons why you moved your space is yes. that lighting is so important.
Yes. I was facing a wall like before. I moved into this house for a year now, and there was this tiny window, and I thought, okay, I'll sit next to that window because this way I don't sit in the middle of the room. And, you know, we kind of have this, like, we each get a corner sort of thing. And obviously Elliot plays video games, so he gets the dark corner. And I was trying to get the light source from that tiny window at the other corner. But then I realized it's just not enough for me. So I ended up compartmentalizing my room so that my desk is kind of sitting in the middle against one wall, but right next to the entire, you know, floor to ceiling glass window. And now my lighting is like 3 times as much as before. And we kind of make out a little relaxing space beyond my desk. Mm-hmm. So it's very unconventional, but it works. And I totally want to like thank like Netflix for all those like home interior design shows. You were gonna suggest looking for inspirations online, but I'm like, no, I watched like the Dream Home Makeover, I watched like the Interior Designer Masters, like all these shows. And then those people always try to break the mold on how you can put furniture, right? So it was after that weekend of binge watching a lot of that. So I was like, Elliot, can I make some changes to our room?
It's good. I think it is good to change things up every once in a while. It is good. You know, furniture doesn't have to stay one place. And it's nice to have the opportunity to add more lighting to your desk space, because not only is it just more, I feel like it's a refreshener. It makes you want to be at your desk and do writing. also good for photos.
Exactly.
You have a lot of streaming and, you know, with Stationery Cafe, we are sharing a lot of images. So I think your desk to have good lighting is really important.
And now I get to enjoy our view, actually, because from my tiny window, even though we live next to the canal, we can kind of see it out. But then there's this giant tree that blocks my view from that window for most of the year, because, you know, when they grow leaves, and I can only see out during winter when all the leaves fall off. So now I actually sit next to my, you know, our deck, and I can like look at the sky whenever I want if I just turn my head. And it just made me feel so much better inside as well. It's not just the ease of use of my space, but like mentally I feel refreshed just by having this new change.
For like inspiration, you know, we were just saying you have gotten inspiration from different interior design shows. And then I like to go through Instagram and see like different people's stationary desks. A lot of people shared their workspace. April, can you share some of those accounts that we've been seeing that it kind of like, I guess, exemplify each different aesthetic?
Yeah. So from like, I guess the first one is like that typical stationery, vintage apothecary, having incorporates a lot of wood because a lot of Taiwanese stationery, Asian stationery really likes that rustic looking style. And I think there are some that are a little bit more chaotic but also organized, and that would be Patrick. You know, Patrick Ng, who came on, he's in Hong Kong. He has all these cool items from all these stationery brands. Like he has these like tool organizers from this Taiwanese brand that looks like organic landscape, and it holds your glasses, hold your pen. And it may look like a lot because he also hangs stuff behind his table, like on the wall, and he displays his traveler's notebook. And he must have already had like a very hectic and busy life at work and stuff, but like go home, he still finds that to be his haven. And then I would like to say the other spectrum of still that vintage style would be like Ina Christina. If you see her lately, her feed, her table, she has like this empty wall, but then it has that shelves you talked about where it kind of gives a little level, and she was able to display her fountain pen inks. And, you know, she has like those potted succulents on the side, and like it's got that sepia look if you would like define it by color. And you recommended Eunice from Bomb Kitchen, which I think is definitely the most minimalistic of them all, right? Like of this style, also very clean, and also just but still having those little displays of pens, stamps, the wood element. And I think that's definitely a very like Asian style, maybe, because if on the other side, flip side, you have Amy Tangerine, who also organizes amazingly, but they're pops of color. Like you go to Michael's, they always give you organization things in rainbow, as if that's like gonna be very, I guess it brings like sort of a cheerfulness.
A joy, yes,
vibrancy. That's like the whole happy planner, like all that kind of style that elicits. So Amy Tangerine has the dream box. Have you heard of those?
The like closet.
That opens up to a desk. Yeah, and then it's got all those shelving and all those things. And then she organized all her papers and like inks and markers and like in these like beautiful rainbow style. And it does look like there might be a lot, but I'm sure it gives her a lot of joy.
Yes.
Mine is like kind of in between. Like I was trying to stuff wooden elements with like colorful elements. And so now it's kind of like, what do they call in Chinese? 四不像, like it doesn't look like anything.
It's just a mishmash. Well, so we've talked about the vintage style and then the colorful style. And the one thing I wanted to add to the minimalist style, you know, we mentioned Eunice from BK, the kind of like really natural elements with just like a plant and then a few of her supplies. But there's also, I noticed another type of minimalism, like Holly from Poi and Hun. has a more, I think of it as a more American minimalism style with kind of like a granite countertop.
Yes.
Gold toned elements here and there. And very like structured New York kind of style minimalism.
White tabletops with the poles, right? And then like you have shelves, but they're not full. They're like things that kind of displayed next to each other in a very clean way. I know that actually appeals to me sometimes too, because like it really like, you know, no clutter, and you just like, okay, now I can fill up my space with the stuff I want on the desk.
Yes. And then I think the stationery elements are like, you know, a vision board with like very good typography on it or something like that. It's a very clean and structured aesthetic versus the other minimalism. I think from BK is a little bit, Bankushin is a little bit more minimalist, but erring on the natural organic side.
I'm thinking right now, also a blank note. I'm not sure she's ever shared her desk, but she definitely is the explosion of the vintage style. But Nina has such good taste. Like, she goes and gets driftwood. Yes. She buys these like little typewriter sort of stands, and like, and she totally utilizes her vertical space, because she basically also has the corner of her studio, and then it obviously expands, but then it starts just like growing and like piling, and it reached her ceiling even, because she also fills it with postcards as well. That's another thing that I think many people like to do, which is to put beautiful postcards up on the wall.
Yes, I
used to do that, but like the more colorful poppy way, in which I put photographs of my life and like against my entire wall in my dorm back in Boston. Oh my gosh, that was so much fun. Gets a little bit cluttered after a while.
Well, I'm waiting for the day that she and her husband actually open like a
cafe,
a real stationery cafe.
Oh with my gosh.
Half stationery shop. Half
I think
cafe.
She said she wants to call it like the analog cafe or something. Oh,
yeah. I love it, because I think her stationery room, where all the magic, well, most of the magic for A Blank Note happens. You know, Season has the other component, but all the stuff is over at her house. It's like a mecca for us to go.
I know. Our favorite haven in Seattle. It's Nita's place.
Well, let's talk about some storage items now. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've talked about the style, because style is something that will draw you into your space. But then how do you store your stuff? Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite elements?
For, I think, many stationery enthusiasts, a must for some reason is the Raskog. And I think probably all of us have either one or at the maximum, I think two is the good maximum, because I used to have one. I upgraded to two, but then it became a little bit too much, so I downgraded to one. And I wanted to suggest a way to organize the Raskog. At least how I do it is, because I have a lot of planners going on, I actually lay a piece of cloth over the top tier, which is, I think, the most important tier of the Raskog, because that's where you can access things most easily. And you know how they have like the little hose, like the wiring hose at the base, and my Hobonichi cousin bookmarks get caught in them sometimes. So my solution is I take a really pretty piece of tea cloth, you know, like those top kitchen towels, and I like cover the base with it, clip it together on the side with a lot of my brass clips, and so they're there, accessible when I needed to use them, just unclip and clip them together. But it also creates a very stable base for me to now actually stand all my journals together like a book stand. And so it's like an extra movable shelf, bookshelf for me. The most important part of that Raskog top tier is to have a space for my journals to sit instead of cluttering up my desk, because I use them one at a time, you know? And then I have like two maybe pen holders that sits along that top shelf for the most used pens or my paint brushes as well. And then for the bottom two tiers, I will reorganize the more like things I don't grab often, like the sticker books or the stamps or, you know, I have more watercolor stuff in there, but I really, really love my top tier. So that's like my favorite thing about the Raskog. And other storage rolling systems I recently got from Michael is the 10-tier drawer rolling cart. And that could actually solve my other issue, which is the organization of so many differently shaped items, which is very common for a stationary holic. You have like the staples, you have like the little memo pads, you have like different tape dispenser, and they kind of don't fit in boxes or square places. And I used to have those Sterilite 5 drawers, you know, like two deep ones, three medium ones, and they just used to be tossed in there in like a pile, like a toy bin. But with these shallow trays, they are so convenient that I can now categorize them based on what items they are. So I actually have a tray for all my watercolor stuff now, a full tray of memo pads that is like, I also organize them by how frequently I reach for them. And then I have the lesser used paper pads that kind of sits on their own tray near the bottom of the rolling cart. And so, yeah, these are like, if you want to think about putting your thing away in an organized manner, I would totally recommend a rolling cart system, because you know how like sometimes you kind of want to work on the couch, which I do now that I have that space. I would actually roll my Raskog over with me so I can reach for that pen and that sticker or that stamp set. But yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people already have really good ways of organizing a Raskog. And the only thing I will warn against is like, you know, although there's so many ways to extend the shelf space, you know, you can put like a hook on it and hook something on. You can buy like little tin cans and with a magnet and like stick it onto the side of the Raskog. For me, I found that I don't like it when it starts to look like a growth, you know, like a tree trunk with the mushroom sticking out. Like, it actually makes me feel a little anxiety looking at so many like things sticking or protruding out from my Raskog. So I try to like once in a while just clean it up a little bit just to make myself feel better. But looking now, I actually have these like S hooks from Daiso, which I just hook onto my Raskog and I can, you know, organize my earphones or headphones and stuff. But that's my 2 cents on storage carts. Definitely let us know in the comments if you have any other ones you really like or use, or tag us so we can see it, like how you organize your storage cart.
The storage cart is a must. And I think especially like you were saying, now with the pandemic going on, we're not cafe journaling, we're not going out. And so I think in a previous episode, we talked about how we do want to be mobile, right? And roll our stuff to a different area, journal in a new corner of our house, just for a new perspective sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the other thing that goes with that is to kind of subdivide spaces. A lot of us will use different boxes. Commonly, I do think a see-through type of storage space, like an acrylic box, where I usually use like a wire kind of box.
Yeah.
That way you can see what supplies are in there, so you don't have anything accumulating in the bottom that you didn't know about.
I know, it's part of that, like you see it, you'll use it. If you don't see it, you actually forget about it, like for a year.
Exactly. And one, like, you know, with the capsule idea of having a little box for all the supplies that you're currently using, this is especially useful because then you can take that box around, or you could keep that box like on the top shelf of your storage rolling cart, like of your Raskog or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the Muji drawers because they're shallow and they're perfect for stamp storage. So they're like usually a 5-tier acrylic drawer, and I think that's what most people use. And yeah. I know there's another brand probably on like at the Container Store or Amazon called M Design. They also have pretty good acrylic storage cases, as well as my friends and I, we were recently discussing it. We're like, oh no, I need more storage space.
I do. I feel like I tend to not like the aesthetics of the acrylic cases as much, because I think I trend a little bit more towards the like vintage look.
Yeah, yeah.
People probably can guess. So then at the Container Store, I've purchased a few. I don't know how to describe it other than that it's a bin that's made out of, it looks like wire or like a metal container. Mm-hmm. And so one problem though I have is that I put my journals in it and the bookmarks from my traveler's notebooks
get caught.
And so I'm definitely going to use that idea you have, April, of putting a cute tea towel, like a little canvas towel or something in there.
It actually makes it look like a picnic basket.
Exactly. Yes. I think that's going to look beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Get a bright color one. You can switch it out by seasons.
Yeah.
Another way to prettify our desk space.
But a lot of people do use these types of boxes for stamp storage as well.
I want to recommend a cool thing that my friend did for stamp storage. So, you know, people like Nita, she has her vertical space usage where she displays her stamps, right? And another iconic person who does that is probably Peppercorn Arts. You know how Connie has on her desk these like trays of cubicles and she sits her Taiwan Bear stamps and the other things in it? So my friend went here in Bay Area, she went to Costco and she bought those bamboo utensil divider that they sell at Costco or anywhere else. It's usually they put it in those large drawers for you to organize your spoon, fork, knives, whatever, right? So she extended them to the max and she nailed it to the wall in a way that it hangs open. And it's immediately like six cubicles where you can put your stamps in.
Wow. So she turns it horizontally. So
exactly. Yeah. So it's immediately a spaced out container with cubicles, and then you can start putting your stamps in it. And those things are not too tall, right? Because they're meant to be fit inside drawers. So they're really the perfect solution.
That's a great idea, especially if you're like, where do I find a vintage cubicle?
I know, it's usually like, how do you don't go, if you don't go thrifting, or like, it's really hard to find. And this is like, and I was like, yeah, the aesthetic of the wooden box style, the little nice small space for stamps, it's just perfect. In fact, give me a second, I'm going to try to find a photo and show it to you.
I think there are so many creative ways. I know that a lot of people like using drawers to hold stamps. I currently have them in just a box. Oh, wow, that looks so beautiful. So the picture is like, because the standard utensil holder thing has some laid out vertically and some laid out horizontally, when you turn it on its side, you also have a variation, some horizontal shelves, some vertical shelves. So it looks really nice.
I know. So you, if you can find a way to fix it to your wall, like by your desk, I think that's like immediately a beautiful aesthetic wood box or photo box to place those stamps. Next section, of course, we have to talk about it. Pouches.
Wow, how many pouches do we have?
Because they're not just static storage space, right? They are mobile. They come with us on trips, they go with us on outings, and they can fit a lot of different things based on their shape and sizing. And I'm pretty sure we talked a lot about the Delphonics pouch before. Mm-hmm. They are just perfect for on-the-go stationary station with like all the necessities. They fit a lot. And recently, I think the trend is the Superior Labor engineering pouch in various sizes. So for example, I actually just bought one from Wonderlust by TSL that's a little bit more narrow and long. So they actually hold my longer brushes now, you know, the regular paint brushes, and that fits it perfectly. But I also got one from the Stationery Selection that's there with the crane and the red thing underneath.
Beautiful.
So that size is a little bit like, it's cute. It's a little pouch, but now I use it to hold pins. So I have a bunch of like pins, the animal pins and normal little pins that you can fix to your clothes. So that's like the perfect little pouch for that kind of thing, where usually you do get them in stationery, like your stationery life, you will come across some of them in your life. And you're like, okay, I placed them on my desk for like a week. and then they just start to become like a thing that sits there. So now I have like designated little pouches to store pins. I have designated pouches to store keychains. I have designated pouches to store gashapon, you know, the little egg, like the little miniature figures. I used to place them next to my journals and take photos of them. So I have a giant pouch filled with probably like 80 different gashapon miniature figurines that I would like sift through and use. And how do you use it?
I use my pouches as like desk storage sometimes. So I think for me, a pouch, I will designate maybe one pouch as my pouch that I will keep empty and then fill it up and throw it in my bag if I'm doing an outing or
something. Carrier pouch.
Carrier pouch, right. The remainder of my pouches are used as storage where I will use them to compartmentalize within my RASCOG. Ooh. Or I use them on my desk. And frequently I leave them open and unzipped so that I can have so that the item sticks out from the top. So right now I'm using a Wanderlust small pouch, but holding things in it upright so that it kind of sticks out. It's almost like a pen holder.
Nice, but a fabric holder, like a fabric pen holder.
And I think the nice thing about the pouches by the Superior Labor is that they have a very sturdy base, so you can use them upright like that.
They stand up on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I have another, it's a trifold standing pen case by the Superior Labor, and I'm using that to hold some pens in the back.
Oh, nice.
And then
that's really pretty.
Little storage box ideas. I'm using a cute little paprika spice box as a pen box.
Cute.
And then I've also accumulated a fair number of Traveler's notebook, Traveler's company brand drawstring canvas bags.
Yes.
You get them as gifts. And I use them to sort out my paper supplies. So, because when I do my journaling, I will usually feel like, okay, I want it to be cutesy or more rainbow, or do I want it to be more collaging? And so I have one pouch designated for cutesy things, one pouch designated for collage, and I'll just pull out the pouch that I want to use.
That's such a great idea because I use that to organize my sticker sheets, but I now just have them in a bunch, like, you know, a pile of sticker sheets. Because after all, those Traveler's Notebook drawer pouches are meant for like A5 slim sizes, so they fit Japanese sticker sheets perfectly. So I'm actually going to start reorganizing some of them by themes, like you suggested. Yes. And
I think themes help me pull out what I need the most. Because, I mean, most of the time I'm not going to mix a theme. I probably won't use like a cute little bunny sticker with like a vintage dark textured paper or something. I'll usually be keeping them separate. And so it is nice to just grab the pouch that I need and
then just take it. I was going to ask you how you sort, like, do you go by color, by like seasons, by themes?
I definitely go by themes. Like I was saying, for stickers and memo sheets and like collage items, I keep them separate by themes. And then in my RASCOG, just like you, I have my top shelf as my most used, like it's pens, it's commonly used tools, and then stamps. And then the middle shelf is where I keep all of my like secondary, what I call crafting items. So that's where my wax seals go, my Avril yarn, my collaging, like Allie Edwards scrapbooking items, and my clear stamps. Those go on the second shelf. So there's stuff that I don't use as often for journaling, but I will want them if I'm doing like a bigger, a more involved crafting project.
That's awesome. I want to add one last addition to our storage system. And I think that's a common question among many of us. And it's how do we store ephemeris? So I recently finally figured out a very good system for me. And the answer is 4x6 photo albums, Phyllis. You know how like with ephemeris, and that is referring to like letterpress cards, little bits and pieces, like washi paper, texture material. And I used to have them in like a little box, you know how like some journals come with their own boxes. And I would like open it and then I would like sift through it. But my latest solution is using these cheap photo albums I got at Michael's, and now I can actually sort them in their individual sleeve pockets. And so it's so easy to get to the things I want, rather than having them layer on each other and hiding some smaller ephemera pieces. And so then especially for when you swatch samples with others regarding PET tape, because you know how like there's not a good way to sort PET tape samples from friends. So I cut them into strips and I just treat them as ephemera. And they go into individual sleeves in my ephemera photo album.
I love that. So it's really easy when you want to do quick journaling, you can just flip through and see what you want to use that day.
I think I got this idea from James, because you know how James does those amazing collaging pages?
Yeah.
So he actually has like a bigger book, a bigger album, but they have like three pockets, like a card case sort of pocket. And then he puts his little ephemeras there, like the little press flower cutouts, the little print-ons that he already pre-sorted. And so he would like, you know, sift through those files and then, you know, find the things he wants. He probably sorted by theme, by design. And that's a really easy way to get to them. And then instead of accumulating a tin box full of scraps, which is probably what a lot of people end up doing.
Yes.
And this makes it a vertical space when you stand it upright instead of, you know, laying it down horizontally.
Yes.
So that's my tip for storing more of my stationery stuff and fitting them into my Rascog. I feel like I'm missing one last item.
I have a couple of tips too that reminded me is that I think actually maybe in one of our very first episodes together, we talked about how you can like think outside the box and think of storage in the set, like in a non-traditional sense. So anything can really help. You mentioned like boxes that journals come in. Those do make really nice storage boxes too. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this canvas lunch bag that I thought was really cute. And so I'm using this as a storage pouch for a bunch of miscellaneous papers.
Wow, that's a really big lunch pouch too. It like probably holds like an A4 letter size.
Yeah,
width.
I would say items. So, yeah. And then also, if other people know that you're looking for kind of like random little items, they may pick up stuff for you. So my mother-in-law found this vintage Starbucks box, and then I'm using it to store my like dried pressed flowers.
Oh, nice. What a nice aesthetic to go with the material inside.
Exactly. So sometimes you may find inspiration for storage in ways you didn't expect, like your friend who was using the utensil holder.
I know. And another, I guess, some people might ask about washi storage, and I feel like we talk about them a lot. I love using the Michael's 3-tier washi organizer, because one box itself holds probably like 200-ish washi tapes, and that's pretty much more than enough for many people, and they look nice because you can see the color of it. I also want to recommend a way to store clear stamps, because obviously clear stamps are usually 4x6 postcard size. So I got this nice box from Daiso that is exactly that width, like the 4 inches wide, and so now all my clear stamps stand upright. Again, like I said, I really like that things are vertical instead of horizontal. So this way I get to sift through them as if I'm looking for files and find the clear stamp that I want to get to instead of them laying on each other, which I think is really like what most people do to store items, but really the most ineffective way to find things.
You know, I think I'm realizing through this episode that I seem to have a lot of canvas drawstring.
You do. You have so many.
Because that's how I'm storing my clear stamps, is I'm just putting them all together in a canvas drawstring pouch that is that it's probably like 6 by 8 inches. So then I can put my acrylic stamping blocks in there.
That
and
too, also yeah.
My clear stamps.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, my collection is smaller than yours, which is why it fits in this pouch.
I started that way. Okay. So now I've expanded to the point that I really need a designated box. And I'm sure there's a lot more, like, you know, how people use those pegboards. They sell them at IKEA where they're like those, like with the holes, and you can add little hooks to it or like trays to it, and, you know, put like display their Traveler's Time magazine. Yeah, I feel like we went through a lot and pretty sure there's more, and maybe we can explore that some other day. But that pretty much wraps up our discussion today, and I hope you guys find something helpful in all this talk and maybe give you some idea, or maybe just give you the chance to go to your stuff and rethink organization. There's something new you can do to it.
Exactly. And please share with us online if you have anything that we missed, anything that you love. Feel free to share us photos or comments of your workspace.
And I think a final shout out that I wanted to put up here, our friend Christine over at London Giftie. She's doing something to help her pet Cookie, who's her cat, who has to go under a surgery. And so she's doing a fun raffle for it. You can join the raffle for, I think, less than $2 per piece. And you get the chance to win. She has like 4 stationery bundles from her store. And so that's really nice. And obviously all the proceeds from her shop right now and the raffle goes to Cookie's surgery fee, which for those who have pets definitely understands how expensive that could be. And, you know, it's a fun way to help out you might win stationery for it. So definitely think about that. And yeah, Phyllis, we'll catch up soon again and have a good Chinese New Year since that's coming up. And we'll see you guys next week for another fun episode. Bye, Thanks. Phyllis.
Bye.